Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is so delicious, so unbelievable, no word exists to describe it. It's better than mind-blowing, it's mouth-blowing. Bright, citrusy, and spicy, this newest flavor from Captain Morgan is a balanced blend of sweetness with delicious notes of lime and slightly spicy chili flavor that is great for an escape outdoors with your crew or your next hangout. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is best enjoyed as an ice-cold shot or as a chili lime twist on a classic as a spicy daiquiri. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, a touch of sweet, a kick of heat. Please drink responsibly. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, premium Caribbean rum with natural flavors, 35% alcohol by volume, Captain Morgan Rum Co., New York, New York.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall. With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Lords of Limited. My name is Ben Warney, and joining me on the line, as always, Mr. Ethan Pacesetter Paragon Sachs. Ethan, are you ready to get too fast, too furious, and start your engines to win the race?
You know, this is the first set in a long time where while I was going through the previews for this episode, just to like make sure I had some opinions and thoughts about them, where I was like, I might need to make a soundboard. For streaming this format. It feels like there's too many sound clips, little sound bites to pass up on for streaming this format to have a little fun with. I guess I am ready to start my engines. How do you feel about, you can't be a Fast and the Furious fan, are you?
I am not. I've seen zero of the 12 Fast and the Furious movies or however many there are.
Yeah, I saw the first one in theaters, but I have not returned to the franchise since. But yeah, I'm very curious to hear your thoughts on this set so far, because we haven't gotten a chance to talk about it. Can you give me a little teaser? What are you thinking about max speed and exhaust and all the car stuff?
Flavor-wise, I couldn't particularly care less, but I am a little worried initially gameplay-wise. I think it is going to be too fast, too furious. It looks like the games are starting on turn one.
Yeah, for sure. A return to form pre-play boosters, perhaps, where I feel like 2023 was really the year of the one drop, and then we kind of got away from that last year. We may be returning to that here. But don't want to get ahead of ourselves. We are going to be diving into Aether Drift previews today. We'll be talking about the new mechanics, returning mechanics, and then as many commons and uncommons that have been spoiled so far that we can get through. Before we do that, let's do a little housekeeping. Let's chat about the Patreon page. Patreon.com/Lords of Limited is where folks can go to give back to the show if they so choose. We want to shout out two things about the Patreon. First things first is the Discord. The Discord is hopping, it's popping, and it is awesome to see as Aether Drift previews sort of bring us back from this 2 month sort of nebulous state in the Discord of like, we got Pioneer Masters, we've got Cube, we've got Innistrad Remastered, we've got Wilds of Eldraine Quick Draft, like Duskmourne coming back. Like, I feel like our whole Discord base is splintered in these like various sections. And I feel like Aether Drift is the thing that's going to bring everybody back to a united front. Certainly once the full spoiler drops and it's live to draft at a game store and online in a couple weeks, it will do that. But it's already starting to do that as the previews channel is constantly on fire. We have that little flame icon flashing when there's activity in a channel, and that one is active for sure.
Yeah, I will say, back to the original question, what am I excited about for Aether Drift, or what are my thoughts? That's the number one thing I'm excited about, is to have a unified format. Like, I've been very busy at school the last two-ish weeks and haven't played much Magic as a result, but I also don't feel like I've missed playing Magic because the player base is so splintered, and part of what I enjoy is engaging with the community, and that feels like the community's been a little off. So I'm excited to get back to just having a set and figuring it out and jamming with everybody.
Yeah, right. It's been a bit of an extended vacation, a hiatus, it feels like, in terms of that focus. I'm excited to have that back, and that focus will certainly be present in the Discord. And the other thing we want to shout out about the Patreon is our podcast feed available over there, where you get the episodes every week, a day early, ad free, and you also get access to Lords Unlimited, our bonus weekly podcast. This week, we're going to be chatting about some rares that maybe excite us, that maybe are too busted, that maybe are greater garbage. We're going to find out when we record after this episode. So we'll look forward to that. So if that sounds of interest to you, head on over to the Patreon page, and we want to shout out our new patrons the first week that they join. This week, we're welcoming Austin, Chris, Patchy, Luca, Dylan, Tristan, Zoltan, Reptune, Repeat, and Gabe. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We really appreciate your support.
Yeah, cannot say thank you enough. Those folks know what's up. If there was a time to get it on the Lords Unlimited Discord, it is now. Year of Our Lord, 2025, first new set of the year, and the community is going to be hopping.
Yeah. Okay, let's dive right into chatting about the new mechanics. Vroom, vroom, vroom. Start your engines is a keyword ability that gives a player speed, which rewards you for having an opponent lose life on your turn. It's very, very slightly like the One Ring tempting, only in that it's like four levels, right?
Yeah, well, that was my initial first comparison after I saw the token. So the token, if you haven't seen it yet, has like 1, 2, 3, like a stoplight on the front, circles, and then on the back it says max speed, and I was thinking, oh, you're going to want as many start your engines cards as possible to get up to max speed. But that's not how it works. Like, once you get it started, the only way to level it up is doing damage or having your opponent lose life on your turn.
Right. So our example card here is Streaking Oil Gorger, 4 and a black for a 3/3 vampire with flying and haste. It has start your engines, so if you have no speed, it starts at 1, and then the speed increases on each turn when an opponent loses life, and the max speed is 4, and when you get to max speed, this creature also has lifelink.
Well, note that it only increases once per turn, and it's only on your turn.
Only on your turn, correct. Yes, yes, yes.
This card is great if you hit max speed.
Well, and one of the things I was noticing, and obviously we don't have nearly a full scope of the picture of the format here on the morning of January 26th when we're recording, but there's not a ton of evasive cards with start your engines. You know, there's a lot, like the thing I was noticing was, I was like, okay, but then how? Like, and the amount of cards that like don't attack or block that have start your engines and a max speed bonus is also wild to me. I had a really hard time reconciling with, okay, but you're not helping me deal them damage, so what is, and then why do I care about this, you know? But this feels like a good package, like a card that is, it's hard, it's 5-mana common, like how important will this be? What grade or letter grade or number will we give this? Probably not super high, I would guess, but like, this does all the things. Like, everything works in tandem with each other.
Yeah, this is, whatever, a D plus or something like that, or a zero or a one. Like, yeah, it's a zero. It's probably a zero, if we're being honest. But it's going to be a zero that you're happy to put in your deck if you have a lot of start your engine and you feel like you're going to be good at max speed. Maybe it's a one. Maybe it goes in a max deck. But I don't know that max speed is going to be a deck unless you get a bunch of cards with start your engines, right? Like, then theoretically you're going to be excited to put as many max speed cards in your deck as possible, or cards that care about speed.
Mm-hmm.
But they also, it's designed nicely in that they also work with themselves. Like, if you get a single card, you're eventually going to accrue some speed just through the natural playing of Magic. It's almost more of a late game mechanic than it is an aggro mechanic.
That's interesting. Yeah, that's the thing I'm on the lookout for, and I don't think we've seen it yet, but like, is there a way to ping? Like, does red get a 2-mana 1/3 that when you play a vehicle, you deal a damage to an opponent or something? But maybe they do want the vehicle set to be just pure creature combat. That would make sense.
Yeah, and racing and everybody turning their cards sideways and trying to get to max speed. Right. If that's how the games go, like, I'm not looking forward to the format. That's not generally the type of Magic I enjoy playing, but we'll see. We'll see how it goes. Other thing to note with start your engines and max speed is that it's not always max speed get some sort of ability. There's some cards that care about the number of speed that you have.
Oh, okay, cool. So it's not just on or off.
Correct.
Okay, nice. Be on the lookout for that.
Next new mechanic is Exhaust, which is an activated ability that can give you a big effect, but only once. So we've got a card here, Prow Catcher Specialist. What's going on there?
1 and a red for a 2/1 at common with haste, and its exhaust ability is 3 and a red. Put 2+1+1 counters on this creature. And I think important to note that it's not sorcery speed. So it's only once, but you can do it at instant speed. So a lot of these have, I mean, not a lot of these, but when there's something like this, there's a threat of activation with the Prowl Catcher Specialist where, you know, if they have a 2-2 in play on and on turn four, you can attack in with the Specialist and you probably can get a free attack if they don't want to like block into this and then have you just have the free pump. A lot of the exhaust abilities seem to be on vehicles that turn them into creatures, like put a counter on it and now it's an artifact creature rather than a vehicle.
Yeah, it is the late game mana sink of the format, it seems like to me, is how I would think about exhaust.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And worth noting that there are a couple ways. One is a rare, maybe, but there's definitely a card. Maybe it's just an Exhaust Lord that lets you use exhaust abilities like they haven't been used. I think it's an uncommon.
It's a green uncommon, yeah.
Yeah, we'll check it out in a second. And then there's also, if there are ways to blink cards with exhaust, if they leave the battlefield and then come back, you'll be able to use the exhaust again because it's a new instance of the card.
Yeah, it's not alchemy. There's no perpetual happening. If it flickers or dies, it reanimates, whatever, you can do it again.
Yeah.
We've got some returning mechanics. It is Aether Drift. It is the vehicle set. Vehicles are back with a vengeance, back and not, maybe not better than ever, but certainly more plentiful than ever. Vehicles are artifact creatures that can be crewed. They can be crewed by creatures with summoning sickness, right? So creatures that just entered the battlefield. Crewing happens at instant speed. For example, we've got Midnight Mangler. It's one and a blue for a 3/3 artifact vehicle. It has a crew cost of 2, so a total of power 2 needs to be tapped to turn this into an artifact creature until end of turn. And during turns other than yours, this vehicle is an artifact creature. So it's a 2-mana 3/3 on your opponent's turn, and then if you want to attack with it, you have to crew it. I love the twist on the 2-mana 3/3 in blue at common in each set. I think that's just like they keep finding ways to iterate on the space. I like it.
Yeah, I think if you've not played with vehicles before, or you probably have played with vehicles before, but maybe you haven't played with this many vehicles, when there's this many vehicles available, the crew cost really matters. Like, crew 1 is very different than crew 2, crew 2 is very different than crew 3, and finding the sweet spot, and obviously the lower the better for your vehicles, is really important.
Well, and then you'll also want to be aware of, and I think it seems that the design of the set is aware of those varying crew costs while you're drafting, so that, you know, 2-mana 3/1s, you might be in the market for those. If you've got a lot of, if there's like good vehicles that have crew costs of 3, well then trying to find as many cheap plays that can crew that as possible is what you want to do. The thing that I have noticed, and I'll be very curious to see what the official count is at the end of the set, like, are people just going to end up with like 10 creature decks, like 10 creature, 7 vehicle decks that are absolutely abysmal and unfunctional? Like, that seems not that hard. So the last time we had a set with this many vehicles was Neon Dynasty. And that wasn't even like vehicle centric, but you could end up with like, I have 6 vehicles and I don't have enough ways to crew them if you were like drafting an Esper deck.
Yeah, I mean, certainly it seems like there's ways to make pilot tokens. I cannot imagine they will have made it that easy to do that, because that would be a pretty feel bad for a new player.
Yeah.
I would imagine the format works. Let's go in assuming the format works.
Okay, format works as expected. So we also had Mounts and Saddles recently. So what's going on there? That's similar to vehicles.
Yeah, very similar. So they're creatures with summoning sickness can saddle your mounts. So it'll have a saddle cost 1, 2, 3, or 4. You can have your creatures that just enter the battlefield saddle your mounts. Differently than vehicles, it happens at sorcery speed. Mm. It'd be nice if they could just update everything to do the same thing. Vehicles on Arena is going to be a nightmare with priority passing. It's going to make the games take quite a bit longer in the Too Fast, Too Furious set. But I mean,
that's very true.
What are you going to do? And most of the saddling creatures get a bonus when you attack. So, for example, we've got Venom Sack Lagak, staying true to the Lagak lineage with rhyming names. We've got one in a green for a 2/1 common with Death Touch. It's a lizard mount, and whenever it attacks while saddled, it gets +0/+3 until end of turn, and the saddle cost is 2. So if you tap a creature with power 2 or more, you can saddle your Lagak, and it will attack as a 2/4.
And cycling is back. an oldie but a goodie. You can pay a card's cycling cost to discard it and draw a new card. We've got a little combat trick here. Light Shield Parry, single white instant. Target creature gets +2/+2 until end of turn, and it has cycling for two. And we'll see a cycling payoff in a little bit after we get through the signpost uncommons.
Did they just throw cycling in here for the boomers? Like, I was looking at this set and I was like, I don't know about this set. And then I saw cycling and I was like, okay, I'm kind of in.
That's so funny. Maybe, yeah. And I thought we wouldn't be getting single mana cycling, but we have
some.
There is.
Yeah.
It's not single mana colorless cycling, but we have single mana cycling so far. So not all signposts have been spoiled, and not all color pairs even have a signpost spoiled. So we'll do our best to go through what has been and sort of piece together what these color pairs might be trying to do. First up, we've got blue-white, which we have as question mark small artifacts. The signpost is Guidelight Pathmaker. It's 4 white-blue for a 6/5 vehicle with vigilance and crew 2. And when it enters, you may search your library for an artifact card and reveal it. And you can put it onto the battlefield if its mana value is 2 or less. Otherwise, you put it into your hand, then shuffle. And I think worth noting that every color pair gets a vehicle. There's 2 uncommon signposts, right? And one is a vehicle, and then one will be something else. So that speaks to the abundance of vehicles.
Correct. This card does not look particularly exciting to me, though.
No, but I guess I'm curious, like, what the... Are there combos? Are there going to be like really sweet 2-mana like rares that you can go grab? Like, I don't know. I'll be curious to see, but I agree. On first blush, this card does not excite me that much.
Yeah. All right. That takes us on to blue black, which we've tentatively got labeled as artifact affinity control ?
Yeah.
Which I assume can't be right, but the uncommon here is an absolute banger. It's called Haunt the Network. 3 blue black for a sorcery. Choose target opponent, create 2/1/1 colorless Thopter artifact creature tokens with flying. Then the chosen player loses X life and you gain X life, where X is the number of artifacts you control.
Yeah, this card and the other affinity cards that exist make me... Blue-black is the deck I'm most excited about out the gates. I don't know if it will be the best deck out the gates, but it's the one that I have my eyes on. We have another signpost just came out this morning, Haunted Hellride. 1 blue-black for a 3/3 with crew 1. And whenever you attack, target creature you control gets +1/+0, gains death touch until end of turn, and you untap it.
Yeah, so, I mean, that checks all the boxes. Crew 1, it's going to let you play offense and defense. I mean, it's modest. Like, I don't think it's pulling you into blue-black by any stretch, but I think you'll probably play it if you are blue-black.
You're definitely going to play it if you're blue-black. I mean, this is just a good card. Like, yeah, like nothing... There's nothing like no wow factor here, but it's a lot of good stuff. Like, it's all on rate or above rate. Next up, we've got red black, which looks to maybe not be sacrificey, which makes me a little sad because there's all these artifacts and rectangles running around. But Apocalypse Runner is the signpost we've got spoiled. It's 2 black-red for a 6/5 vehicle with crew 3. But you can tap it to have target creature you control with power 2 or less gain lifelink until end of turn. And can't be blocked this turn. So are we taking the power 2 or less from red, white, and Duskmourn and bringing it over to black, red in this set, do you think?
I assume it's more red, black cares about start your engines, and this is a way to get creatures through to level up max speed. That would be more my guess.
Yeah, I like that then. That's a way to get evasion that I was talking about before with max speed that I really want to see. So I like that for Apocalypse Runner.
I see this is on to red green, which is big mana exhaust. First uncommon here we've got is Boom Scholar. 1 red-green for a 3/3, and exhaust abilities of other permanents you control cost 2 less to activate. And it's got exhaust for 4 red-green to give creatures and vehicles you control trample until end of turn. You put 2 +1/+1 counters on Boom Scholar.
Okay, I want to read the other signpost and then talk about red-green. So the other one is Rocketeer Boost Buggy. Red-green for a 3/2 vehicle with crew 1. Whenever this vehicle attacks, create a treasure token. And it has exhaust, 3 colorless. This vehicle becomes an artifact creature. Put a +1/+1 counter on it. This card seems excellent to me, the Boost Buggy. Like, you can just go... Turn 2, Boost Buggy. Turn 3, exhaust it, attack with a 4/3, make a treasure. That's a lot. That's a lot of goodies, right there.
I agree. That's a lot of goodies. I think the one thing that's going to keep this in check is there look to be a lot of 2-mana 3-1s running around, and 3-2 I think seems to be a common power and toughness as well for 3-drops. But I agree. Yeah. This card's powerful, and if it gets a clean attack in, it's going to snowball insanely hard.
Yeah. And I like Boom Scholar too. I mean, Exhaust Ability is costing 2 colorless less. It's not nothing, and its Exhaust Ability is great. I like both of Red Green Signposts a lot.
I agree. Red Green Stompy is looking good based off those.
Next up is Green White, which is, as it was in OTJ, Saddles and Mounts. The signpost here is Lagorin, Soul of Alacria. It's green white for a 1/1 with flying. It's a mount with saddle 1. And whenever it attacks while saddled, you put a +1/+1 counter on each of up to 2 target mounts and or vehicles.
I mean, it's a lot to like here. This card's hyper efficient.
I didn't know where you were going with that. I thought you could have gone in. I mean, sounded like maybe he doesn't like it. Maybe he does. Yeah, this card seems great to me.
Like, you're going to be able to play this on 2, play your 3-drop, saddle it, put a counter on this and the saddle thing. And I don't know if white green is going to care about starting your engines, but this is also an evasive threat for starting your engines. This card looks
excellent. Have to kill this. You have to kill this on the spot.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, this is a strong pull into green white.
Yeah, I agree.
Took us on to white-black, which is starting your engines, aristocrats. And we've got Embalmed Ascendant as the uncommon. It's 1 white-black for a 1/2 zombie with start your engines. And when it enters, you create a 2/2 black zombie creature token. And then once you hit max speed, it turns into a blood artist. I guess not a blood artist because it's only creatures you control. But whenever a creature you control dies, each opponent loses 1 life and you gain 1 life.
Why couldn't this just exist on it? How easy would it be to get to max speed?
It would be very easy to get to max speed if it just existed on it. That's how I had the card built up in my head, but that is sadly not the case.
Yeah, that's interesting. So 3/4 of stats for 3 mana plus a max speed payoff. I'm curious to see. There's got to be some non-combat ways to deal damage somewhere.
You would think so, but regardless of that stuff existing, this is also just an excellent Magic the Gathering card, right?
Yeah.
It's 3 mana for a 1/2, a 2/2, plus, if you just think about Start Your Engines as a rectangle, you're getting good things happening as the game goes long for just playing a Magic card that is on rate.
Sure, I agree with that, yeah. But it's not like it's going to be starting your engines past 1 itself.
You don't know that. I hear where you're at with wanting to build around Start Your Engines and wanting ping effects and all that other stuff, but this will just happen, right?
It's just going to happen.
Both people are going to have their engines started in most games of Aether Drift.
Yeah.
It's spread across all colors, and whoever's ahead is going to get to max speed, pretty easily.
Yeah.
And maybe you're racing and both people get to max speed. What?
It's that I don't like that.
You don't like that? You want it to be harder to get to max speed? You want to do more work than just attacking? Or
I just think mechanics that pay you off for doing what you should be doing in a game of Magic anyway, they just feel snowball-y. It's just are you ahead in the game? Well, now you're really ahead. I don't think that's that fun.
Sure, I agree, but I don't think it's going to happen that quickly, right? It's also, if that's the way you're doing it, and mm-hmm. you're really ahead, they're going to be dying around the time you hit max speed also, right? That's another question mark I have about the mechanic. So I assume there are some non-combat ways to do it. But that's also why I'm viewing it kind of as a late game mechanic. I don't think you're going to be hitting max speed until the game is largely at critical mass anyway. But maybe they've designed it in a way that you will.
Yeah, it's interesting. I have a lot of questions about how the set will play out. Because, max speed is making me think that it will be fast. But I hear what you're saying about, it's probably it's an aggressive mechanic, but you don't get the payoff for at least 4 turns. Right, because you can't even, can you get speed 1 and 2 in the same turn? If you start your engines and then deal them a damage, you can get it to 2. So 3 turns minimum, is that true?
That's what I think, yes. So if you have no speed, it starts at 1, it increases once on each of your turns. So you start your engines, your speed's at 1, and then it can still increase once that turn, I think.
Tell us if we're wrong. Seems like you could do, so it's either 3 or 4 turns. At minimum for you to start your engines, which is a while, I guess. I wonder if that means that cheaper things with start your engines are better because you have the chance to get them, get to max speed sooner?
I think so. We're going to talk about some lands with Start Your Engines, and I have high hopes for those lands with Start Your Engines.
Oh, interesting. Okay. So green-black, we don't have any specific signposts previewed yet, but there are green-black cards we'll talk about that care about leaving the graveyard, or things care about that care about things leaving the graveyard. So I assume that's what green-black is trying to do, and that its signposts will be either milling or using ways to use the resources from your graveyard to turn them into things. But we haven't seen them yet.
Blue-red, we do have a card. It's boosted Sloop, 1 blue-red for an uncommon. It's a 3/3 with menace. Whenever you attack, draw a card, then discard a card, and it's got a crew cost of 1. My hottest, most hopeful take is that blue-red is cycling, which I think is likely based on the vehicle, and that blue-red is going to be back. Like, that they figured out how to make cycling and blue-red good, and the blue-red's back again with cycling, and it's going to be my favorite archetype to draft. It's my two fingers crossed, one-time dealer for Aether Drift.
So do you think it's going to be cycling, or do you think it's going to be draw two matters?
Might be draw two matters. We've seen a draw two matters card already in one of the other cards. That might be true.
Yeah. And that cycling supports that. But that, like, that's what this, like, that's a blue red thing they've done before. And that's what this card makes me think of.
Yes. That checks out too.
Red white classic pilot / vehicle beatdown. We've got the first one here in Cloudspire Coordinator, red white for a 3/1 pilot. And when this creature enters, scry 2. This reminds me a lot of Veteran Motorist from back in the day. That was also a red white 3/1 ETB scry 2. But it also has tap, create X 1/1 colorless pilot creature tokens, where X is the number of mounts and or vehicles that entered the battlefield under your control this turn. So basically, this gives, like, every time you cast a mount or a vehicle, this gives it something to crew it with. And so the pilot tokens are 1/1s that can crew things as if their power were 2 greater. So they're 1/1 tokens, but they can crew or saddle things with crew or saddle 3.
Yeah, this card is absurd. I mean, this and Lagorin, Soul of Alacria are probably 2 of the more pushed power level wise. Like, I'm most excited for Haunt the Network. That's the blue black one.
Yeah.
But I mean, this and Lagorin are going to be oppressive on turn 2.
Yes. Yeah. It's like, it's hard to not imagine red, white, and green, white in the vehicles and mounts set to be busted.
Oh, I am certain, like, based on Red White's cards here, that Red White looks alive and well. Yeah, no missing on Arabella doll of whatever time around.
Yeah. What's the other signpost for Red White?
The vehicle is Cloudspire Skycycle. 2 red white for an uncommon vehicle. It's a 2/3 flyer. When it enters, distribute 2 +1/+1 counters among 1 or 2 other target vehicles and or creatures you control. And if that weren't insane enough, it's also got a crew cost of 1. This card is also broken in half.
Yeah, that's nice. Okay. Lastly, we've got blue green, which is Exhaust, big mana. The vehicle we have is Ranger's Aether Hive, 1 green-blue for a 3/5 with vigilance and crew 1. And whenever you activate an exhaust ability, you make a 1/1 colorless Thopter artifact creature token with flying.
This card's good.
Yeah.
Just remains to be seen how many things with exhaust you're going to be able to get, because you can only do it once per card, right? But this isn't limited to once per turn. Like, you could have some insane turns where you pop off with some exhaust abilities.
Yeah, I wonder if this play, if this is going to feel more gluey, like in blue black with wanting a bunch of artifacts. So, like, if you do some Sultai affinity stuff, or also if you're playing in Teemer with the exhaust lord, like the thing that lets you exhaust multiple times, or the red green signpost that makes your exhaust abilities cheaper. That then Ranger's Aether Hive is a nice payoff. All right. Takes us on to some categories to look at some cards under. First up is removal, which we don't have a ton of so far, but a card that has been piquing some interest in the Lords of Limited Discord is Roadside Blowout. This is 2 and a blue for a sorcery at uncommon. It costs 2 less to cast if it targets a permanent with mana value 1. Return target creature or vehicle an opponent controls to its owner's hand. Draw a card.
Yeah, this card is excellent. It's going to be bread and butter. Play it in every blue deck.
Yeah, I think pretty happy this is not a common. We've seen this effect at common before, right? Arrested, whatever. Arrester's Admonition from Ravnica Allegiance. Like, Talarian Geyser from Dominaria United. There's just like lots of 3-mana sorcery speed bounce draw card, and they're always excellent. And this, I think, will be excellent as well.
Take us on to some vehicles to check out. We've got Air Response Unit, 2 and a white for a 3/3 flying vigilance vehicle at uncommon, and it's got a crew cost of 1.
Yeah, that seems great.
That's my question. I think this is just good. Like, this isn't pulling you into white. I think this is like a C+ or a 4 or whatever. You're playing in every white deck, but it's not pulling you into white.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I still feel fine calling that great, but I agree with your assessment on the number scale.
Okay. And for those of you who aren't familiar, if you're joining us for the first time, just fasten your seatbelts.
Well, goodbye.
We have a numbers and letters grading scale for our crash course next week. Next up, we've got Spot Cycle Scouter, which is 1 and a white for a common vehicle. It's a 3/2 when it enters scry 2, and it's got a crew cost of 1.
This, I think, this feels fillerish to me. Though I guess I do love me a 2-mana play in white that smooths your draws.
Yeah, I think this card almost looks better than Air Response Unit. Not better, but similar vein in that, like, the vehicles decks and or the aggro decks look like they have the tools to start the game on turn 1. And I think if you go 1-drop Spot Cycle Scouter and then you're bashing in from the get-go and you get the scry to help make sure you curve out well for the rest of the game, it seems really strong to me.
You're right. But I want to go back to Air Response Unit, because what I'm thinking about here is Air Response Unit is nuts if you're trying to max speed.
Yeah.
Because flying in vigilance means that you are getting in, but then it can also...
And also protecting.
Can also stop your opponent from getting there. I don't know. Flying in vigilance is nice. And then we've got, talked about this, Clamorous Ironclad, which is 3 and a red for a 6/3 vehicle with menace and crew 3. So a lot. But the part of this card I'm more excited about is it has cycling cost for single red.
Single red. And it's a common. So, like, we're going to see single mana cycling. Like, blue red has to be cycling or draw 2 or something. And Clamorous Ironclad is going to be, if we're on greater garbage, I'm going great if it's got cycling 1.
Yeah, but like the split here is going to be something like 90-10 of you cycling this versus casting this.
Sure. What's wrong with that?
Nothing. I'm just saying, like, why we're excited about the card is for one line of text.
Well, and we're trusting that there's going to be a cycling deck. If there's no cycling deck, this will be a flop.
Well, then let's chat about the one. It's a little further down, but there's only one card so far, but it makes us think that it will exist. This is one cycling payoff is Marauding Mako, single red for a 1/1 shark pirate. Whenever you discard one or more cards, put that many +1/+1 counters on this creature, and it has cycling for 2. And this is almost exactly a reprint of Flourishing Fox from Ikoria, though Flourishing Fox was a single white, and it itself had a cycling cost of 1, not 2. But otherwise, the same thing. And that was busted in that set.
Busted. Bring back Zenith Flare, you cowards.
What if the other blue-red signpost was just Zenith Flare?
I would be in on this format.
I bet you would. What's going on in the mana fixing department so far?
We've got some cool fixing. So Marshall's Path Cruiser, this is kind of ho-hum, whatever. This is a vehicle. 3 mana for a colorless vehicle at uncommon. It's a 6/5. And when it enters, search your library for a basic land card, reveal it, put it into your hand, then shuffle. It's got a crew cost of 5, which is a hefty crew cost, so you're probably never crewing it or hoping to never crew it. But it's a Wooburg payoff with exhaust, so exhaust for Wooburg, and it becomes an artifact creature, and then turns into an 8/7. You get to put 2 +1/+1 counters on it.
This card seems bad to me.
I agree. This is hot garbage, but we'll see.
This could at least rampant growth you. Like, you could at least put the land into play tap. 3 mana of search up a land. Yeah, no, I'm out on that. I'm kind of in on this next one. Starting Column is a 3-mana artifact. It's a manalith, so it taps for a mana of any color. It also has Start Your Engines, so does the max speed thing, and then has max speed, tap, sack this artifact, draw 2, then discard a card.
Yeah, I like this card. Again, I can't imagine it is premium.
No,
because I assume the format is going to be fast enough that you're not super incentivized to splash and go nuts with a ton of colors.
There's just that, like, you're already going to be like, your vehicles are going to be do nothing artifacts some amount of the time. So then did also put actual do nothing artifacts in your deck. Like,
we're going to be able to do nothing so well. It's going to be
so
awesome.
So hard. It's going to be amazing. Yeah.
There's also ETB tapped gain lands, which I do like that we're going to get a bit of a life total buffer. That's cool for the format. So the whole cycle is there.
Mm-hmm. Well, and might make it a little harder for the format to start on turn one, though probably not. And then we've got Night Market, which is a common land that enters tapped, and as it enters, you choose a color. It taps to add a mana of the chosen color, and it also has cycling three, which I love.
This card seems excellent.
Yeah. Will this make so on your short list for top 10 commons that matter?
I think so.
Yeah, I would think so too.
I mean, it's hard to say without seeing the whole format, but this land is powerful.
That's what people are here for. They're here for incomplete, unfiltered takes.
Well, now then it's going to be in my top 10 list.
There you go. Talk to me about Glory Heath Lynx, the first of our mounts.
What a Magic the Gathering card. The data is going to love this card. Glory Heath Lynx, one and a white, 2/3 lifelink cat mount. And whenever it attacks while saddled for a saddle cost of 2, you can search your library for a basic playing cards, reveal it, put it in your hand, and then shuffle. This is going to be bonkers on turn 2.
Yep, I've no notes. This card seems excellent. Next up,
B plus. It's very good.
Yeah, B plus. I would think like just seems absurd. We've also got Unswerving Sloth, which is 3 white for a 5/5 mount. It has saddle 4. But whenever this creature attacks while saddled, it gains indestructible until end of turn. Untap all creatures you control. This card is cool. So, like, as far as 5-mana 5/5s that don't do anything, like, don't have an ETB, this is really good. Because, like, once you untap with this, you just put your opponent in the abyss or lava axing them. Because this untaps everything. It untaps itself and the stuff that saddled it. And it's indestructible while attacking.
Is this that good?
I think this is a problem.
This isn't a pull into white.
Probably not. No.
Okay. Well, I'm just awesome. No. Like, this is fine.
You missed my caveat of 5-mana 5/5s that
do nothing. Yeah.
Doesn't have an ETB. Like, that's a knock against it. So it probably isn't, you know, in the B territory. But
example, I agree. It's interesting. Put that up against Spot Cycle Scouter in a pack. The one in a white vehicle, the 3/2 ETB Scry 2 Crew 1. That vehicle is better than this card.
Yeah, because of its cost?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
So I think we need to temper the excitement about Unswerving Sloth, personally.
Okay, all right, we'll take it again. Unswerving Sloth, this card is terrible. We probably don't need to even talk about it. next up, we've got Autark Mammoth. It's a Titan at uncommon. 4 green for a 5/5 mount. When this enters and whenever it attacks while saddled, create a 3/3 green elephant creature token and has a saddle cost of a hefty 5. But remember,
it's going to bring along elephant friends to help saddle it.
You're making a 3/3, so all you need is 2 power elsewhere to keep the gas flowing. This, can I be excited about this?
You can be excited about this. I love elephants riding elephants. This is a very strong card for 6-mana play.
Yeah, 6 mana for 8/8 of power toughness over 2 bodies with the threat of more. I'm in for the mammoth.
But I'm still questioning, like, is there going to be time for this? Like, is it enough to stabilize you at 6 mana? How good is green hitting 6 mana? If all that stuff is true, this card's going to be good. But it's hard for me to imagine that. My usual instinct when I see this kind of card is like think B plus. I'm more like B-ish on this at the moment.
My brain is breaking a little bit thinking about this not being excellent. If this isn't excellent, then your whole max speed is a late game mechanic is out the window, my guy. Like, if the format is too fast for Autark Mammoth to be good, like, we're in Zendikar speed territories of fast.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. Last one here is Gilded Goda. This is 1 red for a 2/2 common, and whenever this creature attacks while saddled, you create a treasure token. It's got a saddle cost of 1.
I like this. If this is early in the game, like if you play this on 2 and then have an attack with this into something, trade and make a treasure, it's pretty good.
Yeah, I like this card as a 2-drop for an aggressive deck.
So we've got Pilots back, as we talked about, the 1-1 tokens that crew stuff for greater than their 1 power. And there's a Pilot Lord here in Cloudspire Captain, 2 and a white for a 2/3 at uncommon. Mounts and vehicles you control get +1/+1. And this creature saddles mounts and crews vehicles as though its power were 2 greater.
Yeah, this card is excellent. Going to be oppressive in red, white, and green, white.
Yeah, your mounts and vehicles are already probably large, and so making them larger isn't like the most necessary, but this is all good. Like 3 mana 2/3 with this ability, plus this can crew stuff as if it were a 3/3 or a 4/3. That's very good.
Yeah. Next, we've got Canyon Vaulter, 1 and a white for an uncommon 3/1. Whenever it saddles a mount or crews a vehicle during your main phase, that mount or vehicle gains flying until end of turn.
I think this is going to be so good if you're max speeding this giving evasion.
I mean, it's just going to be so good because it's also going to help you kill your opponents. It's going to attack for 3 when they don't play a blocker on turn 2. Although,
yeah,
I assume most games will start with people playing things early.
I think you have to like just one drops are going to be so good because 2 mana 3/1s are good. Like there's this ripple effect of like, okay, so I have to be able to combat the 2 mana 3/1s. How do I do that? Well, it's with 1 mana 1/1s or whatever. And lastly, we've got Interface Ace, which is 1 and a white for an 0/4 artifact creature. It saddles, mounts, and crews vehicles using its toughness rather than its power. And when this creature becomes tapped during your turn, untap it. This ability triggers only once each turn. So the joke here is that this can double crew or double saddle in a turn.
Well, also you could saddle it during your turn and then block with it as an 0/4. Could play offense and defense also would be the other option. That was more how I was thinking about it in my head. Is this good?
I think this is going to be good.
But it doesn't attack in what a deck that looks like it's going to want to be attacking. That's the rub for me. So we're going to do Greater Garbage later in the episode. And if you've not joined us for that before, it's a game where we have to say great or garbage, no in between. So you have to decide one or the other, 2 extremes. I think if I had to say great or garbage right now, I think I'm saying this is garbage. And I don't think that's actually true about it, but it's tough for it to be great in what looks to be aggressive color pairs and not having power.
But it's a 2-way player. Like the fact that you get to crew and have a blocker for their 3/1s or whatever, that is good. Because I feel like a lot of games, and maybe I'm focusing too much on max speed, but I feel like there's going to be a calculation of like, okay, I can get to max speed before you, and or we're like vying for that and I have to play out a couple turns ahead. And this card just like makes your life so much easier while you're trying to do that.
That's fair. I hear all that. I think max speed isn't intrinsic. I guess it kind of is like the ring tempting. I don't know. Like, I'm curious how hard you're going to be going after it. Like, are you going to have 4 cards in your deck with max speed? And once you get to max speed, like maybe you kill their card that cares about max speed. And then it doesn't matter that they have max speed because they haven't drawn their other 2 cards that care about speed, you know? Like, once you hit it, it doesn't intrinsically do anything itself.
Yeah, maybe I'm focused too much on it, or maybe the payoff isn't that big for max speed. Like, it's just a nice little bonus. I think the 2-way player of this and the fact that it mitigates some awkward draws of like when you draw 3 vehicles and 1 creature, this being able to crew both if you want. I don't know.
Let's see.
It's saying greater garbage on a 2-mana 0/4 common is rough because like feels like you have to say garbage, but I like what the card's doing.
That takes us on to some Start Your Engines cards. First up, we've got a Nesting Bot. This is single white for a 1/1 with Start Your Engines. Whenever this creature dies, create a 1/1 colorless servo artifact creature token. And if you hit max speed, this creature gets +1/+0.
You wrote nuts next to this card.
Yeah.
What am I missing?
It's a 1-mana 1/1 that's going to start your engines on turn 1. Like the earlier you start your engines, the better it's going to, the easier it's going to be to get to max speed. Because every time you do damage, like you're definitely going to get a level up. There's also like there's going to be a thing turn 1 on the play where you play Nesting Bot, start your engines at 1. They don't play a 1 drop. You crack in and you're at 2. And I assume it's going to be trivially easy past that. And then it's going to, if you hit max speed, it's a 2/1, which is fine, whatever. But it's also going to be relevant later in the game for all the vehicles that are crew 1. This card is very good. Like a strong pull into white, I think. B minus B.
Strong pull into white?
Yes. This card's great.
Okay. All right. I'm in. Next up, we have Our Victory. 2 and a black for an enchantment with Start Your Engines. When it enters, you make a 2/2 black zombie creature token, and it has max speed, and it's Demonic Tutor. 1 and a black, sack this enchantment, search your library for a card, put it into your hand, then shuffle.
Do you know it was Demonic Tutor? I recently did story time. I did a Duskmourne Arena Direct, and I had Demonic Council for Ghostly Dancer that hard carried my mopey black-white deck. I very consistently got to... I tutored up Ghostly Dancer 3 or 4 of my wins. It was ridiculous. But anyway, Our Victory here, back to this. Card's good. Nothing to not like about this card. I mean, 3 mana for a 2/2, start your engines. I think you're probably in for playing that card. And then the max speed bonus of get your best card late in the game seems very strong.
I have no idea how to evaluate this card. Every fiber of my being wants to rate a 3 mana 2/2 as nothing. Is there something about the rectangles here? Like, can we pick up this enchantment and replay it? Do we do any of that in the format?
Not that I've seen so far, but there are a lot of cards like this that are enchantment-y things. I think this card, just as it reads, not even knowing what else comes along with it, you would be excited about 3 mana 2/2 make a rectangle, right? Like that was in the format's main synergy.
That's what I'm trying to... Wait, but I don't... Wait, this is your thing where you're saying that...
Start your engine is a bonus. Like it's a plus to a card. If you think about it as half of another card or something.
But it's not, is it? Because, like, if you've already started your engines, it doesn't do anything.
Sure, but okay. Let's say there's no other Start Your Engines cards in the format. And this is Hour of Victory. It exists as its own isolated card.
Okay.
You would play 3 mana 2/2.
Yes.
If I damage my opponent 4 times, I get to Demonic Tutor for my best card. You would play that card. That's a good card.
That's what I don't know.
And you don't even have to damage them 4 times. You have to damage them 3 times, right? Because you start at 1 once you start your engines. You have to damage them 3 times, and then you get a Demonic Tutor. That's a great card. It's kind of like the Scroll Thief thing in that, like, once your engines have started, the game changes a little bit, like, especially if it's something this powerful. Like, your opponent's got to respect the 3rd time you hit them or damage them. Like, you can go get your best card.
Okay.
That's a good card.
Okay, I think the thing that is tripping me up, and I'm sorry, like, I'm sure this is just going to age extremely poorly of me just being like, is this good? But the thing that is tripping me up is, like, you keep talking about start your engines as a rectangle, but, like, if we're thinking about it that way, the thing that's tripping me up is I'm like, well, if I have 7 instances of start your engines in my deck, they can't all be, like, there's diminishing returns on that effect because once you get the first one, it doesn't do anything. But you're saying no, you're shaking your head no.
I'm shaking my head no, because if you have 7 Start Your Engines cards, uh-huh, and you draw your first one and you get the thing started, you just want to get it started as soon as possible.
Those engines.
You just want to start those engines. And then once you get it started, it's going to happen, whether you're putting in work with pingers or doing it through combat or whatever. And then when you draw your next Start Your Engine card, you're going to get paid off if you're at max speed. Like, the fact that you've started, you just need to start the process, I think, is how I'm viewing it. And once you start the process, it's going to happen eventually, or you're going to lose, one of the two.
Because you played a 3 mana 2/2 and you're on the back foot and this card did nothing. No.
Because once you've played this 3 mana 2/2 that started your engines, your opponent's got to play some amount of defense or you're going to get max speed. Like, the game changes a little bit.
I'm with you. It's taking me a little too long. I apologize, but I think I see what you're seeing.
All right, next up we've got Momentum Breaker. This card also looks broken in half. 1 and a black for an enchantment with Start Your Engines. Whenever this enchantment enters, each opponent sacrifices a creature or vehicle of their choice. Each opponent who can't discards a card, and you can pay 2, sacrifice this enchantment to gain life equal to your speed.
Yeah, with pilot tokens running around, this is slightly awkward, but it says Start Your Engines, which is good.
This is good. This is Edict with multiple upsides. This is a strong card.
Yeah.
And if you whiff, you can also just run it out on turn 2, like to curve out, start your engines, and your opponent has to discard a card.
Right. That's nice, is that if you're on the play, you can still play this on turn 2.
This card's very good. Yeah.
Yeah. I do like that. Next up is one of those lands you talked about. Amonkhet Raceway is a land that starts your engines, taps for colorless, and max speed, you can tap it to have target creature gain haste until end of turn. This is powerful.
That's what I think. I think I'm in for playing these colorless lands with Start Your Engines. If I can start it on turn one. And then, like, do I care about the max speed bonus on Amonkhet Raceway? Not particularly, but if I have other cards that have good speed payoffs or speed bonuses, I think you're making room in your deck for an Amonkhet Raceway.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think that's a good call.
Next up, we've got Endriser Catalyzer. This is a common. It's one in a red for a 3-1 Human Warrior, and it's got Start Your Engines, max speed, taps to add, red, red. And again, like, we don't care about that max speed bonus that much, but I do think the process of starting your engines is going to be good. I think this is a good card.
But you have to have some max speed bonuses that you do care about in your deck, right?
Correct. I'm trusting okay. that they're going to get us there.
That they exist. Okay. Another common we have is Goblin Surveyor. It's 2 in a red for a 3-2 with Trample and Start Your Engines. And its max speed payoff is pay 3, exile this card from your graveyard, draw a card. Evidence that max speed is just a late game payoff and not necessarily fully aggressive.
Yeah, and certainly this is going to be something you're happy to be doing late in the game. If you run out of gas, this is going to keep the speed flowing.
Well, and what's nice about this particularly, like, 3-mana 3-2 Trample is kind of brilliant on a Start Your Engines card, because, like, normally you'd be like, oh, I just leave back a 2-2, or I could leave back my 3-1 and trade with this. But then it's like, okay, you can trade with it, but then I'm also going to get my speed up that turn too.
Yeah, and I think it is not going to be that hard to get your engine started, assuming you're willing to go after it, because we've also got a common land that's going to do it, Avishkar Raceway. It's got Start Your Engines, taps for a colorless, and if you have max speed, you can pay 3, tap the land, discard a card, draw a card. So you can rummage once you have max speed.
Okay, so questions. How many colorless Start Your Engines cards, lands, are you playing in a deck?
Probably one. I would say, like, as many as I could without destroying my mana base, which is probably one. And which maybe your mana base won't even be able to support one.
Yeah.
If I'm a dedicated two color deck without a lot of double colored pips, I'm fine for 8/8 and a colorless.
Yes. 8/8 colorless.
I'll just be bemoaning the times that I have colorless planes and all red cards in my hand and just say I'm unlucky.
Right, for sure.
As every good Magic player does, you know?
Yeah. I just wanted to call that out. I wonder if you can do, if there are, or you could do monocolor decks and then get like 3 of these.
Ooh, that'd be spicy.
Yeah. Let's check out some exhaust cards. This is that aforementioned Exhaust Lord, Elvish Refueler. It's 2 and a green for a 2/3. During your turn, as long as you haven't activated an exhaust ability this turn, you may activate exhaust abilities as though they haven't been activated. And this itself has an exhaust of 1 and a green. Put a +1/+1 counter on this creature.
Yeah, I'm not excited about this particularly multiple exhausting, but there are some good exhaust cards, and this letting you do it multiple times will be strong. Next up, we've got Grease Wrench Goblin. This is single red for an uncommon 2/1, and it's got exhaust 2 and a red. Discard up to 2 cards, then draw that many cards. Put a +1/+1 counter on this creature.
I like this a lot.
Yeah, it's really strong. Just a 1-mana 2/1 you're probably in for. And if assuming we're right about blue-red being cycling and or caring about discarding and or drawing multiple cards, this is going to slot in beautifully there.
Yeah, for sure. Speaking of exhaust being threat of activation, this next card packs a punch. Pace Setter Paragon. It's 2 in a red for a 2/3. It has an exhaust ability of 2 in a red. Put a +1/+1 counter on this creature. It gains double strike until end of turn. Like, this is just threat of activation is real.
Unblockable, yeah. But then you're also going to be leveling up max speed. Like, right. This is unblockable. Like, it's going to be tough.
I think this card is real good.
Lastly, we've got another exhaust payoff here. This is a very cool vehicle. It's called Ranger's Refueler. It's 1 in a blue for a 3/3 uncommon vehicle. And whenever you activate an exhaust ability, draw a card. It's got a crew cost of 2. And it has exhaust for 4, this vehicle becomes an artifact creature, put a +1/+1 counter on it. Like, it works with itself and is going to power up all your other exhaust cards. This is exactly what you want from your build arounds.
Yeah, very cool. All right, let's chat about some graveyard stuff before we get into great or garbage. First up is Wickerfolk Indomitable. It's 3 and a black for a 4/3 uncommon artifact creature. You may cast this card from your graveyard by paying 2 life and sacrificing an artifact or creature in addition to paying its other costs. And there is, like, leave the graveyard stuff, right?
Yes, there is leave the graveyard stuff. I'm wondering how often you're going to be able to pay 2 life. I would like this a lot more if I just had to sacrifice an artifact or creature in addition to paying its other costs. 2 life seems hefty, but I mean, it's not like it comes into play tapped or anything, so that is nice.
Yeah, and you can get some value if, like, you have self-mill or whatever, or cycling or looting or what have you to pitch this and then cast it for pseudo free, depending on what you can sacrifice. And there's treasures floating around. Are there other rectangles we've seen? I guess you can sacrifice pilot tokens.
You can sacrifice pilot tokens. This is the type of card I am attracted to that I am trying to temper my attraction towards based on how I'm viewing the format.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
All right. We've got a couple of reanimates as well. First of them is Tune Up. 3 and a white for an uncommon sorcery. Return card artifact card from your graveyard to the battlefield. If it's a vehicle, it becomes an artifact creature. This could be broken.
It's hard for it to be broken. How can it be broken?
There's a lot of insane vehicles with high crew costs. Like if they come back as a creature, if you can mill or discard some insane thing and reanimate.
There's a very cool mythic rare. That's like it's like a 7-mana crew 3/7/7 flying lifelink first strike, but it has cycling. So cycle that on turn 3, tune it up on turn 4.
I mean, I'm in for that. I'm eye on Tune Up.
I'm less excited about Tune Up and more excited about Back on Track, which is 4 and a black for a sorcery. Return a creature or vehicle from your graveyard to the battlefield. But it also makes a 1/1 pilot creature token. I think I'm in for paying that extra mana to get that extra rectangle.
You wouldn't just rather your vehicle be a creature? It's Tune-Up's only artifact cards. Back on track's much more flexible. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Getting back a creature and a 1/1 or a vehicle and a pilot to crew it, I think is good. Plus the pilot can interact with mounts as well. I like Back on Track.
Next up, we've got Carrion Cruiser. 2 and a black for an uncommon 3/2 vehicle with a crew cost of 1. And whenever it enters, you mill 2 cards, then return a creature or vehicle card from your graveyard to your hand. Gravedigger vehicle.
Yeah, Gravedigger vehicle. Well, but with a little, what's nice about this is you can play it. I mean, you're not always going to hit, but you can play this with an empty graveyard and not just whiff, you know?
Yeah, I mean, this card's whatever. Is it a 4? It's a 4, right? It's not pulling
it's
the black.
It's a 4, I would think. Yeah. Next, we've got Earth Rumbler, which is 4 and a green for a 7/6 vehicle. It has Vigilance and Trample. It has a crew cost of 3, but you could also just exile an artifact or creature from your graveyard to turn it into an artifact creature until end of turn. And I think this card is going to play out a lot better than it looks.
I think it looks great, so that's exciting.
Well, but I think you think this looks great because, and I'm going to forget the name of it, but there was a vehicle like this in Phyrexia All-Be-One. That had an oil, like, I think it came with an oil counter.
Yeah, the blue card.
And you could, it was like a 5/5 vehicle with a crew cost of 3, but you could remove an oil counter from it to crew it for free for a turn. And that one oil counter was just like the free crew made your opponent's life pretty miserable because there's threat of activation. And this is like that, but way more powerful. Plus, it plays offense, like 7/6 Vigilance Trample. That's
for
5
mana. Yeah, this card is very large. This will be a strong payoff for being green-black graveyard stuff.
Well, but you don't even need to, like...
Yeah, you're right. It's just going to be a good card.
You're going to have stuff in the graveyard if you're any green deck. I think this is just going to be a great green card.
Next card I'm also quite excited about. This is Molt Tender. Green
for
1/1. You can tap to mill a card, and you can tap it to exile a card from your graveyard to add 1 mana of any color.
Yeah. This is very, again, similar to a card in Phyrexia All-Be-One. It, like... tap to put an oil counter on itself, and then you could tap to remove an oil counter from it to have it be a mana dork. And so even like every other turn, plus sometimes you'll care about self-mill if you're green-black, plus sometimes stuff will just die and you won't have to do the every other turn thing. I like Molt Tender.
Yeah, I also like Molt Tender. Think it looks good. And lastly, we've got Dredger's Insight. This is an 11th hour preview here before we started recording. 1 and a green for an enchantment. It's an uncommon. Whenever one or more artifact and or creature cards leave your graveyard, you gain 1 life. When this enchantment enters, mill 4 cards. You can put an artifact, creature, or land card from among the milled cards into your hand.
All right, here it is. Malevolent Rumble, cash grab. What do you think?
I'm in. I think Greenback looks like it's doing graveyard stuff. I think this is going to be... excellent in green black. Is it playable in every green deck? Probably. It's going to be its best in green black, though.
This doesn't. I mean, it's closer to cash grab in that I think for you to get the card ceiling, green black is where it's at. Otherwise, it's basically just 2 mana card selection. Because, like, if you're not
using it, it's still going to be great if you've got a lot of good rares or whatever.
Yeah, for sure.
Dredger's Insight, good.
All right, that takes us on to a pretty modest list, I would say, for Great or Garbage Aether Drift Edition. First up, there is a Cycle of Pilot Lands. These are all the same, so we'll read the white one here. Country Roads, Take Me Home, is a land that enters tapped unless you control a mount or vehicle. It taps for a white, and then you can pay one and a white, tap sack the land to make a 1/1 colorless pilot creature token.
I'm kind of in
no,
on these lands. And I know you have PTSD. You have PTSD from the Bloomborough ones, but I'm kind of in. Here's why. It seems like late in the game, a pilot's going to be irrelevant, but there's going to be some games where your creatures, like the thing you were talking about, where you have 10 creatures, 7 vehicles, and you're going to have a vehicle left. And if this turns that vehicle into a relevant card, that's good in the late game and late games when you're going to be okay with sacrificing a land. I mean, I don't think these are auto plays necessarily or high picks, but you're going to play with these lands in the format.
Yeah, the cost of ETB tapped white source isn't extremely high. I mean, if you have like a bunch of duels, like there is a ceiling or like there's diminishing returns on how many tap lands I want in my limited decks, and these will certainly be worse than dual lands. So you're right in that, like, if one of these happens to get in my pile, and I'm white, and I'm not playing a lot of tap lands, I'll probably play it. That all amounts to garbage. Like,
but you're going to have mounts and vehicles running around too, so they're not always going to be ETB tapped.
Sacking a land is such a cost. Like, the Bloomborough lands that you had to sacrifice were terrible, and the ones that didn't were also terrible, but that was because of their stupid activated restrictions. Like, I just think the cost of exchanging a land for this is very high.
I agree, but it's all upside, right? Other than it's a not potential tapped land.
Correct.
But it's not like they tap for colorless or have restrictions. I think you have PTSD from the Bloomborough lands, and that you should be playing these more often than not. I think I'm evaluating
this card extremely. I think the distinction I think you're trying to make, which I agree with, is that the Bloomborough lands ended up in my pile, and even if I was in that color, I often didn't play them. That will probably not be the case with these, but these are not high picks at all, and you're never going to miss them. These are zeros. This is garbage.
Ooh.
You are never, ever, ever ending a draft and saying, if only I had a Country Roads.
To really tie the room together? You're right.
Yeah.
All right. I concede. Next up, we've got Aether Siphon. This is 1 blue-blue for an artifact uncommon with Start Your Engines. It's got 2-tap draw a card. And max speed, whenever you draw a card, each opponent mills 2 cards. I love a good build around mill win condition.
That gets you to the build around mill win condition by attacking
your opponent. I love it.
Now, as much as you've talked me up on Start Your Engines, how do you reconcile it on this kind of card? This is a very hard card for me to wrap my head around.
This card's pretty bad, I think.
It's pretty bad, right?
I love it, and I want to try to make it work, but I think this card is garbage.
Yeah, it's like, what if Sphinx's Tutelage didn't work?
when you put it that way, I think it's a clear garbage.
Okay. Next up, we have Stock Up. Watsy heard us talking about Divination a couple weeks ago, and here we are. 2 and a blue for a sorcery. Look at the top 5 cards of your library, put 2 of them into your hand, and the rest on the bottom of your library in any order. Holy cow, is that a power creep from Divination? I'm not saying
power
it's like
creep from Divination.
Yeah. It doesn't affect the board like we may have wanted, but it's interesting.
I think this card is going to be as good as the amount of cheap removal in the format. If there's great cheap removal, this card's going to be great. If there's not great cheap removal, this card's going to be tough to cast, I think. I think it's going to be tough to take turn 3 off to just draw some cards.
It's really nice that, like, the selection here is huge. The fact that, like, if you need to hit land drops, you're going to find 2 lands among the 5. If it's late in the game, this is 3 mana, draw 2 spells.
I hear everything you're saying. It's hard to say great in what I view this format as, though. Like, this card in a vacuum is great.
Is great.
I'm not convinced that it's going to be great in this format. So let me put you on the spot here. Pack one, pick one, this card, or Spot Cycle Scouter. 1 and a white for the 3/2 when an ETB scry 2 crew 1. I think that's a hard pick, and I'm kind of leaning Spot Cycle Scouter.
Yeah, I think I am too. Well, also because I think white is going to be great.
I hear that as well.
I don't know. Got my eyes on stock up, but I think
we got to put a stamp on it. I'm saying garbage for this format.
I'm going to say great. Next up is Defend the Rider. What's going on here?
Single green for an instant. Choose one. Target permanent you control gains hexproof and indestructible until end of turn, or create a 1/1 colorless pilot creature token that can crew things as though its power were two greater.
This is just great, right? What's not to like?
Yeah, this is a very good trick.
This is a very, very good trick. And the fact, like, you get a thing to crew your vehicles. You get a thing that can ambush 3/1s. You get a you can save your best thing for cheap.
Well, there's just going to be blowouts, too, where you go for animating your vehicle at instant speed on blocks. Like, they're not expecting you to be able
Correct.
To crew your vehicle. And like,
no, I think that card is just great. Next, we have Brightfield Glider. Single white for a 1/1 at common. It has vigilance and saddle 3. And whenever this creature attacks while saddled, it gets +1/+2 and gains flying until end of turn.
I like this card. I think I'm going great in the context of this format.
Can you talk to me about the things you like about this card? Like its play patterns or whatever?
I like that it starts the game on turn one, which I view as probably going to be important. I like that it has vigilance in that it can then attack potentially while saddled, and then also crew a vehicle that's got a crew cost of 1 on blocks if you needed to do that. It's relevant late into the game at an expensive cost, but if you've got a pilot, like this is a 1-mana 2/3 flying vigilance, and we've seen a lot of cards that care about mounts, that pump mounts, this card I think is going to be really good. Ethan is making a very pained face for those of you who are not on YouTube.
I'm also going to cut pause. Out all of this dead air because I'm just thinking. What is happening in my brain right now is all I want to do is look at all the downside of this card. Because I hear what you're saying, and that all sounds good. Saddle 3 is so much, and I know pilot tokens do make that easier to stomach. Unsaddled, this doesn't really do anything.
Yes, it does. It crews your vehicles. The games want to start on 1 so that like that you're going to want to play. This is what we get to start the game with on turn 1, and if this is what we get, that's what I'm gonna do. Like, you're gonna want to put this in your decks with the stupid 1 and a white 3/2 scry 2 crew 1. This crewing vehicles means it doesn't do nothing.
Don't you want your things that crew vehicles to be good on their own?
I think this format is too fast, too furious. I think we want to start as early as possible, and I think this is a way to start as early as possible. On the play, you're going to have a 1-mana 1/1 vigilance. Turn 2, you're going to start your engines, you're going to crack in, and you're going to be at speed 2. You're going to have pilot tokens to turn this into a 2/3 flyer. I just think this does everything you want to do in aggressive decks with vehicles.
Okay, I'm done hemming and hawing. I'll join you with great. Next is Hull Drifter. Love it. 3 blue-blue for a 3/2 flying vehicle. When it enters, draw 2 cards. And it has a crew cost of 3.
I kind of want to go garbage. Like, not being able to divination with it on 3 is tough. Crew 3 is a really high crew cost. In blue-white, maybe you get some white pilots that make it a little more palatable.
Yeah, I mean, I was just playing some Wilds of Eldraine quick draft on my phone last night.
Please tell me how that compares to Etherdrift.
Well, but I'm bringing it up because there's Into the Fae Court in that format. That's the 5-mana draw 3, make a 1/1 flyer that can only block flyers. And like, I just feel like I have been down on the sort of pseudo expensive common draw spells that end up playing out pretty well. And I'm wondering if this will be like that. Like, I could see this being blue's top common.
There's a world where it is if the format is a little slower. It just doesn't, like, if we look, all we have to go off is the cards we've seen so far, but based on green-white's gold uncommon being Lagorin's Soul of Alacria and red-white's uncommon being Cloudspire Coordinator, it looks to be that there are going to be some broken aggressive decks, and that makes me less excited about Hull Drifter.
Yeah. Okay. Garbage on
and I, like, I agree, all of my card evaluation sensibilities want to say that Hull Drifter is great, but I just don't know that that's the world we're living in Etherdrift. Next up is Pedal to the Metal. Red X for an instant. Common, target creature gets +X/+0 and gains first strike until end of turn.
I mean, this is this flexible trick that like could win you the game as like
that's
lava
what I,
act.
That's what I think. I think this card is great.
No, I think this card is garbage.
Really? So 2-mana win a combat potentially.
One mana win combat, potentially.
Oh, we could just get first strike. Ooh, yeah. Maybe. I like it even more. And then Lava Axe late in the game? I think this card's strong. I think this card's going to end a lot of games. Is your de facto combat trick that just wins combat for a mana that can be efficient or game-winning? So flexible.
You're never picking this over whatever Red's good removal is. You're never picking this over whatever Red's like good creatures and vehicles are.
Sure, sure, sure. But I mean great in the sense of like great in the slot that it occupies in the set, which is Red's combat trick. I think this is a great Red combat trick.
Okay, so the last time we saw a card like this was in Midnight Hunt. Lunar Frenzy was X and a red. Instant, target creature you control gets +X/+0 and gains first strike and trample until end of turn. And I think we were equally hot and bothered about that.
And that wasn't card, it good?
It was fine. I just had to look up the game in hand win rate, say meager 55%, which is just fine.
Please talk data to me.
I know you love it. I'm just like, I just feel this, I'm getting deja vu. That's why I'm so like stuck on this card. I'm getting deja vu of like, I feel like I've been here before.
But it's a different format. Midnight Hunt was all a blue and black. Like if we assume Red White Beatdown is the best deck, Hunt of the Metal like is great in that deck, right?
I'm kind of out on tricks in
a vehicle world. Like vehicle so you can world. Only have so many non-creatures. That I hear. That argument I hear for sure.
All right, I got there. I whatever it is, this guy, I don't, I'm saying garbage on this card. You can say great, I'm saying garbage.
And note my great is in the context of red combat trick.
Correct.
Next up, we've got Beast Rider Vanguard. One on a green for a 2/2. You can pay 4 and a green to look at the top 3 cards of your library, reveal a permanent card from among them, and put it into your hand. Put the rest on the bottom of your library in any order.
Do you think we'll get G Guards back into Magic with this? This is a 2-mana 2/2 with plenty of upside. I think this is just garbage.
I also think this is garbage, unfortunately.
It's crazy.
I had shades of, you know, when Foundations playing with a thing that had two and a white that could search up a thing power 2 or less. I really enjoyed that card, but
yeah,
I think this is not that.
No. I mean, like, you'll need to put creatures in your decks in this format, and this is a creature. But, like, this is this, like, big chunk of text, this 5-mana... activated ability card advantage thing is just like not what limited Magic is about anymore.
I agree. Makes me sad.
Next we have Bestow Greatness. 2 and a green instant. Target creature gets +4/+4 and gains trample until end of turn.
Can I interest you in this combat trick?
You can. I was more excited about this than I was about the +X/+0 first strike one. But this is a lot. And again, it has the same caveat of how many non-creatures can you put in non-creature, non-removal spells can you put in your decks in this format? And I don't know.
But it's got Felia looking so cute in the art.
The art is quite cute. Gonna go garbage, but
wow.
I could see being wrong. I don't know.
I'm going great. As far as, again, occupying the slot of green combat trick, and I expect Bestow Greatness will probably be better than the red one, better than Petal Bowl Metal. Like, if we liked red-green and red-green looked as beat-downy as it looked, I think Bestow Greatness is going to have a great home in red, green, large monsters.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, +4/+4 and trample is a lot, but so is 3-mana.
Lastly, here we've got Veloheart Bike. This is 2 and a green for a common vehicle. It's a 4/2 with a crew cost of 2. When it enters, you gain 2 life and it taps to add 1 mana of any color.
This is probably garbage, but I like this card. It's Gift of Paradise.
I don't think this card is garbage. I think I like this card quite a bit. It's a mana rock that gains 2 life on ETB, like offsets the speed bump a little bit, and then also turns into a relevant card after you're done using the mana. Trades off on defense well. It's got 4 power. I like Veloheart Bike.
Yeah, but
do I think it's going to be good? It's hard to say great.
It's hard to say great.
It's really tough to say great, but I'm going to say great for the purposes of the segment.
I'm going to say garbage for the purposes of the segment. Is there a like multicolor vehicle deck? I mean, I guess there always is.
There cannot be a multicolored deck in this format.
There can't be?
Not with Legora whatever.
Oh, like not that it will be good, but like will we be drafting some amount of nonsense? Yes. Is this part of that?
Oh, it has to be if there's nonsense. If not this enabling it, then what?
Then what? Yeah. Yeah, all right. Garbage on Veloheart Bike. Where are the creatures? Everything's a vehicle. Creatures? Where are the creatures?
Where? #where are the creatures? You know, I am in. Like, if this is what we're in for, if this format is too fast, too furious, I'm in. Like, we'll do it. And we'll figure it out. What I really am hoping, though, is that we also don't in the future have a universes beyond too fast, too furious and have to relive this all over again. I'm kind of wondering why they didn't just wait for the franchise crossover.
Do you think the Fast and the Furious franchise is interested in having Vin Diesel's likeness on a magic card?
Why not? If I were Vin Diesel, I would want my likeness on a magic card.
Yeah, that's fair. Well, I mean, we might get to go back. Who knows?
We'll see. And hopefully the format is not as fast as it is looking to me at first blush. And I more than anything, I will be a happy camper if Blue-Red cycling is competitive.
Yeah, I am excited about this format mostly because I imagine things will click into place when I get my hands on the cards, but it's tough for me to evaluate. I imagine we will have a lot of arguments during the crash course next week.
Listen, I'm in for it. Put the boxing gloves on, baby.
I know you are.
All right. I left it all on the floor. Left it all the fuels out of the tank, whatever the racing analogy is. I'm on
there. You go. Yeah. need to make a pit stop. Do you watch any F1?
God, no.
I do.
Do you? What? Yeah. This is the most shocking revelation about you I've ever heard. Wait. How? Why? You're Mr. Sportsball and you're into F1?
I mean, into F1 is extreme. I like the Netflix documentary series Drive to Survive. And then as an offshoot, I watched however many seasons of that there are, 5 or 6. And then I have sometimes watched an F1 race when it is available. It's fun. It's dramatic.
I would have lost a lot of money on that bet. Lot of money on that bet. Yeah. All right. We're wrapping it up here. Thank you, as always, to Salty Pretzels for our intro and outro music. Make sure you give it a listen.
You can find all of our content at lordsoflimited.com. We've got our tier lists, our episode backlogs, our YouTube channel, our Twitch streams, respectively, our merch, courtesy of TeePublic, and our Patreon page, all at lordsoflimited.com.
If you've got any feedback about the show or any questions, shoot us an email at lordsoflimited@gmail.com.
Thanks so much for listening, and we'll catch you next week for another episode of Lords of Limited.
Thanks, everybody. See you later.
Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is so delicious, so unbelievable, no word exists to describe it. It's better than mind-blowing, it's mouth-blowing. Bright, citrusy, and spicy, this newest flavor from Captain Morgan is a balanced blend of sweetness with delicious notes of lime and slightly spicy chili flavor that is great for an escape outdoors with your crew or your next hangout. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is best enjoyed as an ice-cold shot or as a chili lime twist on a classic as a spicy daiquiri. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, a touch of sweet, a kick of heat. Please drink responsibly. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, premium Caribbean rum with natural flavors, 35% alcohol by volume, Captain Morgan Rum Co., New York, New York.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.